Fox News 97.1 FM.
This is Countdown 2024.
Here are Charles Feldman and Margaret Carrero.
Well, care to guess how many days left to Election Day?
I know.
Yeah, so do I. 32 days left until Election Day. On today's show, we will be taking a look at two highly competitive races right here in Southern California. We'll be hearing from Santa Clarita Republican Congressman Mike Garcia, who is in a dogfight to keep his House seat, and L.A. County District Attorney George Gascon, who will also be on the show as he faces an uphill battle for re-election. But first, this.
Vice President Kamala Harris certainly has to be cheering a stronger than expected September jobs report, which was released this morning. Not only were just over a 250,000 new jobs created last month, but the unemployment rate fell and average hourly wages for American workers grew. Unsurprisingly, Republicans were less than impressed. Vice presidential candidate J.D. Vance claimed, without evidence, that almost all new jobs created last month went to immigrants. And Florida Senator Marco Rubio suggested that the Bureau of Labor Statistics, which produces the monthly jobs report, had fabricated the positive numbers to make Kamala Harris look good. That, by the way, an old conspiracy theory.
A Republican polling firm released new data from the crucial swing state of Nevada this morning, showing Kamala Harris up by 3 points over Donald Trump, which is still, by the way, within the margin of error. The same poll has Nevada's incumbent Democratic Senator Jackie Rosen within a bigger 7-point lead over her Republican opponent. Now, that continues the trend of Democratic incumbent senators running ahead of Harris's poll numbers in several battleground states.
Vice President Harris gaining some star power on the campaign trail next week. Former President Barack Obama, who, aside from a fiery speech at the Democratic National Convention, has not yet campaigned for Harris. He's going to be at a rally in Pittsburgh next Thursday, and that's going to kick off a swing state blitz by Obama in the weeks leading up to Election Day. Meanwhile, former President Trump is going to make a triumphant return to Butler, Pennsylvania for a rally tomorrow. That, of course, the site of the attempted assassination against him back in July.
Congressman Mike Garcia is just about everything the Republican Party seems to want in its next generation of leaders. A Latino, a former U.S. Navy fighter pilot who flew combat missions over Iraq, Garcia had to win two separate elections, that was back in 2020, to secure his Santa Clarita House seat. He is now facing Democrat George Whitesides in the 27th Congressional District, which is now in an incredibly tight race. Congressman, thanks for being with us.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
So let me ask you, having now just recounted just a little bit of your resume, which is very impressive to say the least, why is it such a tight race?
Well, I'm in a district as a Republican where the party registration of my own party, the Republican Party, is only 29%. So what that tells you is that I'm winning a good portion of not only the Republican Party, the 29% of my district, but also the Democrat Party and the majority of the independents and the no party preference folks. And a lot of people ask, how is it possible for a Republican to stay in office? And every one of my elections has been tight when you only have 29% of your own party. And for me, it's because I don't make it about party politics. I actually think we need weaker parties and stronger leaders. And I think we have achieved the former, and now we need strong leadership. And my constituents, my voters are smart enough and they pay attention, and I'm blessed to have them. They see what we've done for the district. They know what I've done for the country since I've, you know, served this country since the age of 18. And they appreciate that what I'm doing is for the interest of security. It's not in the interest of a political party.
You know, you have said you love California, but that Sacramento makes it hard to stay here. What would you do in another term in Congress to help bring about change here in the Golden State?
Yeah, and a lot of it is, you know, I've been very clear with my constituents that I can't fix everything that's wrong with California. And I do love this state. I don't want to leave. It's got great weather, great geography, great people. But we can't afford to have our country turn into what California has already become. And the fight that I've been fighting in D.C., especially the first 4 years I was in office, was to make sure that the ugly twins of bills like Prop 47 and AB 5 and the tax and spend mentality and the soft on crime mentality, the defund the police movements that we saw in L.A. County, aren't replicated at the federal level. And I do get engaged in the local politics to make sure that we're getting rid of district attorneys who don't look out for our interests, like Gascon, and get rid of propositions like 47, which makes felons into misdemeanors and allows people to go free when we're in the midst of the highest crime sprees we've seen in our local area in a long time. So again, the great unifying word is not Republican or Democrat. It's security. It's national security, border security, economic security, protecting Social Security. And as kind of messed up as the policy.
Did we lose him?
Did we lose you?
Coming out of Sacramento are our lives is. How about now, guys? You got me?
Yeah, we got you now.
All right. Sorry about that. Yeah. As difficult as our lives are right now, if we replicate those policies in D.C., we're going to have an even tougher time as Americans.
And again, we're talking now with Republican Congressman Mike Garcia, who is running for re-election in the 27th congressional district. I get what you were saying before, Congressman, about we need leaders, not so much parties. But the system we have, of course, requires party affiliation. So I'm going to ask you, are you Republican classic? Or are you Republican Trump?
I would consider myself an American, period. I didn't grow up with a GOP hat on or an elephant on my shirt. I grew up with an American flag on my T-shirts.
But you're running as a Republican.
Yeah, right. So. Yeah, I would consider myself to be a Mike Garcia Republican, which is someone who's out for the country. I don't believe in putting anyone in buckets. My style is probably more Reagan-esque than anything else. But I am unique in that, I had no prior experience in politics, and I believe we need more veterans to run for office. And so I'm willing to negotiate. I'm willing to compromise. I think civil discourse and the mudslinging is unnecessary right now. We have real threats called China and Russia, and we need to unite as Americans and come together. So I grew up in the Reagan era. I grew up looking up at Ronald Reagan as someone who led our country. And to be honest, as an 8-year-old, I didn't even know if he was a Republican or a Democrat. I just knew that he was a good leader, a good communicator, and a great communicator of great things. And that is the American dream that he spoke of. And that's what we need to get back to, I think, not just as a Republican Party, but as a country, frankly.
But of course, in his lifetime, Reagan was both a Republican and a Democrat. So there you go.
Yeah. And I honestly applaud people who are independents. And I tell Democrats who vote for me, I'm very appreciative of it. And I tell Republicans, if there's someone who, you don't trust or you don't align with, don't vote for them just because of the party affiliation. You have the courage to understand what they stand for and vote in accordance with your principles and values. And again, I'm blessed with voters who are Democrats. My dad was a Democrat. A JFK Democrat who grew up, most of my family are JFK Democrats, but they value the same things I value, which are all security based and a love of country. Frankly, we all love our country, and we should at least. And there's a lot of good Democrat voters out there. I never fault the voters. I don't like some of the policies of the elected officials in Sacramento and in D.C., but the Democrat voters are very intelligent, and they still deserve security like Republicans do, and they want security like Republicans do.
So you brought up your dad. You're the son of a Mexican immigrant, right? You said that your father came here legally. You have called illegal immigration one of the nation's biggest security threats. I wonder why you didn't support the Senate's bipartisan border security bill.
Well, to be honest, it wasn't a border security bill. It was an immigration bill, which I'm not opposed to. But I use the metaphor of a leaking sink, right? If you've got a pipe broken under your sink and it's gushing 10 gallons per minute, you fix the leak underneath the sink before you start mopping up the water. And the Senate bill that came to the Senate floor, by the way, it didn't pass, and the Democrats are in control of the Senate. So that's an indication that it wasn't as solid as it should have been. It wasn't fixing the leak. It wasn't securing the border. It was addressing immigration processes that do need to be improved. And I agree with 90% of that bill, but you've got to fix the leak first. And the version that we had in the House was H.R. 2, which actually secures the border first, and then we can address the immigration problems. And, the challenges, and I support DACA, I support the Dreamers. These people have been here. Most of them didn't even know they were brought here illegally. But now we have 15 million people here who are illegal from multiple countries around the planet. And we know there's more than several hundred terrorists who are on the known terror watch list. I'm on the Intelligence Committee, and I know this for a fact. And we're in a very perilous position. In the wake of 9/11, the key lesson there was that we need to monitor our borders and make sure that our borders are secure and know who's coming here legally and illegally. And we've just been allowing this to happen for 3.5 years under the current administration.
You know, you were talking about
more legal immigration and no illegal immigration. And that's fundamentally the basis.
We're running out of time here, but you talked about supporting Dreamers. Did you not vote against creating a pathway to citizenship for them?
No, I've been very supportive of a pathway to citizenship for them. They may have hooked something like that to a bigger spending bill that had poison pills in it. But I've been very clear on the floor that if you're a supporter of DACA and the Dreamers and a pathway to citizenship, which I am, your number one priority should be securing the border. Because what's happening is these people who have been here now for 35 years, who came here as kids and didn't know they were even here illegally, are now getting cut in line by 15 million people who are knowingly breaking the law. And some of them aren't good people. And I still have an aunt going through the process right now since 1959. So I support the immigration reform, DACA, and Dreamers, but we've got to make sure that we secure our borders. We're not a nation with right. the current border situation that we have.
All right. Republican Congressman Mike Garcia running for re-election. When Countdown 2024 continues, L.A. County D.A. George Gascon.
This is Countdown 2024
on KNX News, 97.1 FM.
Thanks for sticking with us. Along with Charles Feldman, I'm Margaret Carrero.
And by the way, we had in our last segment Republican Congressman Mike Garcia, who is running for re-election in the 27th Congressional District. And we do want to point out that we did reach out several times to his Democratic opponent, George Whitesides, but no response.
A lot can change in just 4 years, and that has certainly been the case for L.A. County District Attorney George Gascon. When he was elected in 2020, he rode a wave of social justice reform into office with a mandate to reform prosecutions and rethink sentencing structures for nonviolent defenders. But then crime rates spiked during the first 2 years of his term, coinciding with the COVID pandemic.
Well, now Gascon is facing voters in his reelection bid who are eager for tougher action against criminals, especially those committing property crimes in L.A. County. LADA George Gascon joins us now. Thank you for being with us.
My pleasure, Charles and Margaret. Good to be with you.
Let me start off by asking you, because it is the news of the day, now that Mayor Karen Bass has announced that Jim McDonnell will be the new chief of the Los Angeles Police Department, I'm sure you know him, what's your reaction to that?
Look, I think it's an excellent pick. Jimmy knows the LAPD very, very well. He clearly is a law enforcement professional, has been in the profession for over 40 years. We worked together. In fact, we were assistant chiefs together under Bill Bratton, and we worked together for many, many years. I think the mayor made an excellent pick.
You made quite the announcement yesterday with regard to the Menendez brothers and their case convicted of killing their parents decades ago. The timing seems curious. How much did the election, the re-election, play into that?
None at all. If you follow the timeline on this, the attorneys representing the brothers submitted two petitions, one for habeas review and the other one for resentencing. And habeas is basically asking that there is new information or information that should have been presented to the jury and the court, that if that were had occurred, they might have been a different outcome. And then resentencing under the state law allows prosecutors, for people that have been in prison for a long time, to be resentenced if they have rehabilitated and there's evidence to do so. Either path would have to go in front of a court and be approved by the court. But what occurred more recently, we have been on track to handle this sometime between October and November this year, and that has been the case for months. These are complex cases that require a lot of reinvestigation, especially this is a case that is 35 years old plus. But Netflix put out a documentary recently that really spiked the attention. Just the last week alone, well, in the last few days alone, we have been bombarded with media requests or information about what we plan to do in the case. You know, I have personally been asked by many, many community members, and we recognize that we were starting to answer this, individually, and it was becoming way too much time. Our media unit was tied up, you know, sometimes good part of the day just answering questions about the Melendez brothers. So we decided to have a press conference, as we did yesterday, in order to very transparently tell people who we are. You know, this is a complicated case, and I'm evaluating both petitions, and I will, you know, we have people in my office that are supporting it, some people that are not. I will make the final decision, and I hope to make that decision shortly. To be honest with you, it appears that they have been rehabilitating. They have been going to college. They have been mentoring people. They have done volunteer work. They have been in prison for 35 years. They went to prison when they were 19 and 21. So, you know, the case is ripe for review, and that's what we're doing.
It sounds like you have a very positive feeling about that. Can one conclude from that that you're leaning toward reducing or changing the sentence?
No, it's too early. I'm just simply telling you that based on the information that we're getting, it seems like they're rehabilitating very well, but we still have work to do. And, you know, we will do the work. We're working in this case, as we do every case, you know, that merits review. We have resentenced over 300 people in the last 3.5 years or so. And out of 300, only 4 have reoffended. You know, quite frankly, if that was the average recidivism rate in our country, we would be the safest nation in the world.
We're talking, by the way, with Los Angeles County District Attorney George Gascon. We had on the show earlier this week Nathan Hochman, who, of course, is running against you for your job. You came into office with a mandate, because you were elected, after all, of being a progressive district attorney. Do you think, though, that the public has now changed its view on that and is less likely to view a progressive such as you are in a favorable light?
Look, I'm not sure. You know, I think that as, you know, I go around the community and I talk to a lot of people, I think that people want balanced reform. People want to feel safe, but they also do not want to go to the times of mass incarceration, the times of the death penalty, the times of lack of police accountability are things that, quite frankly, my opponent would likely be more likely to embrace. You know, we have been aggressively prosecuting residential burglaries, aggressively prosecuting organized retail theft case. I've worked with the state legislatures to increase penalties for those that are repeat offenders in when it comes to organized retail theft. But we're also, you know, we have also done a lot of work. You know, we work on environmental justice. You know, we have prosecuted over 250 cases involving environmental violations. We have done exonerations. Over 15 people that were wrongfully convicted. We are going after wage theft. Nearly $3 million have been returned to workers whose money has been stolen. We're doing consumer protection in a way that hasn't been done in the past. So they're, not only are we going after violent crime and organized retail theft and burglaries, you know, ensuring that our metro riderships are safe, but we're also doing a lot of other work that I'm not so sure that my opponent would have the same level of commitment that I do.
DA George Gascon stays with us to close out the Friday edition of Countdown 2024 next.
Welcome back to Countdown 2024. Along with Margaret Carrero, I'm Charles Feldman.
LA County District Attorney George Gascon remains with us to close out today's show. From the time you took office, DA Gascon, you faced resistance to your reform-focused policies from prosecutors in your office. A number of them sued you, alleging retaliation for opposing or questioning your policies. You've received votes of no confidence from more than 36 cities. Why should the people of Los Angeles County support you in this election?
Well, look, I mean, first of all, you know, we have 88 cities in the county. So those cities, and it's right around 28, 30. But those cities that had a vote of no confidence, quite frankly, were cities that were not supportive of my election in the first place in 2020. When you look at our office, you know, we have about 2,000 employees, about 750 prosecutors. There is no question that there is a number of people that are opposed to the way that I'm doing the work, just like there are many people that are supporting the way that I'm doing the work. So I think that there is a lot to unpack here. You know, crime went up during COVID across the board. In fact, I came into office on December 7th. Crime started to go up in the county in January of 2020, and it went up in our surrounding communities. Crime has started to go down in the last year and a half or so. And in many places, quite frankly, at higher rates than it has in many surrounding communities, the city of LA now is registering, 2 consecutive years of reductions in crime overall. And I understand, you know, we have 88 cities, but the city of LA is 40% of the county's population. We have cities like Pasadena that is also reporting reductions in crime. So the picture of crime is very mixed. And I understand that, you know, the opponents are using the impact of COVID and the public safety system as, you know, somewhat associated with me. But I think that when you look a little deeper, and most people, as they're being educated on this process and are more discerning, you know, they begin to realize that there's a lot more to the story here.
Are you confident of winning?
You know what? I am, because when I get around the community, when I talk to people, I'm doing this daily. I see tremendous support, especially when we educate people and we do the comparisons. You know, when I talk to people about, say, you know, you can go back to the death penalty, you can go back to mass incarceration, lack of police accountability, or you can continue on a way, a path of thoughtful, balanced reform that takes into consideration not only public safety, but the fair and equitable administration of justice, I get a lot of support.
All right. We'll leave it there. George Gascon, L.A. County DA, who will, by the way, be joining his opponent, Nathan Hochman, and Mike Simpson and me live here on KNX this coming Tuesday. That's the 8th of October at 5 p.m. for the KNX Los Angeles Times debate. On Monday's show here, this could end up being the most heavily litigated election in this country's history, with almost as much action in courtrooms as polling places. We'll get a preview of what is sure to be a very litigious end to the presidential campaign. And remember, we are here every afternoon at 2:30 through Election Day. And if you miss a show, you can catch up with a replay at 8 and on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Countdown 2024 and follow the show.